What's up, guys? Welcome to the F*** It, I'll Say It podcast, where we discuss Black entertainment and culture from the perspective of a realist. Here we discuss notable and standout moments in Black culture and how they affect our community on a deeper level. I'm your host, Laura J., and without further ado, let's get into it. Today I wanted to discuss a topic that resurfaces in pop culture frequently, cultural appropriation. In order to help you guys follow along, I broke this episode down into two main talking points. Starting with point number one, what is cultural appropriation and what are some prime examples in pop culture? According to the Google Dictionary, appropriation is the unacknowledged or inappropriate adoption of customs, practices, ideas, etc. According to preemptivelove.com, cultural appreciation is when one earnestly seeks to learn about and explore a different culture. As you could imagine, the line between the two is very thin. For those of you who understand better when given examples like me, say as a Black person with locks, a non-Black person tells you that they like your hair because they are genuinely intrigued. Then they begin to do research on their own and learn about the history behind the hairstyle and its significance to Black culture. This would be an example of appreciation. Now, in a parallel hypothetical, the same person sees your hair, compliments it, becomes infatuated, and then takes it upon themselves to replicate it with little to no acknowledgement to the originator. This is when it becomes appropriation. This specific example reminds me and is inspired by when I went to Rolling Loud Inglewood earlier this year, and the culture shock was culture shocking. I remember being a tourist standing in line at In-N-Out for the first time, and the person I was with pointed towards the door, and lo and behold, there was an Asian man who looked like he went to the hair store, found the cheapest wig with locks he could find, and slapped it on his head. That is definitely a core memory from that trip for sure. Anywho, back to the original topic at hand. Contrary to popular topics, Black culture is not the only one who experiences mass amounts of appropriation or uncomfortable amounts of appreciation that is borderline appropriation. I have seen a lot within cultures such as Native Americans and Japanese as well. Do y'all remember when Nicki Minaj got backlash for her Chun-Li persona and music video? Maybe you're not chronically tuned into pop culture like me, but that was a thing. I mean, and people were rightfully upset about it because it came off a little tone deaf and was definitely an offensive cultural appropriation. Or before Rihanna came and snatched Victoria's Secret out of business and they had an annual fashion show, someone on the team thought it would be a good idea to have those girls on the runway in panties and bras. And as an accessory, Native American cultural headpieces. And then enough people agreed for it to be cleared. Or even the silly photo of Adele at whichever, I'm thinking it's a Jamaican festival or carnival, which I personally don't think this one is that deep, but it is kind of funny. I think it's more so straddling the lines between appreciation and appropriation, but let me know what you guys think about this one down in the comments. These are all examples of appropriation in pop culture. One of the biggest standouts that I remember vividly is Miley Cyrus's whole Bangers era, which I'm not gonna lie, Bangers were made. Let's not act like We Can't Stop wasn't a timeless hit, but cultural offenses were made as well. Of course, I don't believe that that era reflects Black women as a whole in any capacity, but let's be real, y'all. We know exactly what her target audience was during that time. It goes to show how these people see us in a very specific light. It becomes problematic when someone exploits a certain culture or demographic for profit and then they pivot to a different quote-unquote aesthetic.
The auditioning process of Hannah Montana. There was a buzz in that Burbank Disney office where it's rumored that they create all of us Disney kids. I definitely wasn't created in a lab, and if I was, there must have been a bug in the system which caused me to malfunction somewhere between the years of 2013 and 16. Sorry, Mickey.
It's always just an aesthetic for perpetrators. She used this quote-unquote era and aesthetic in order to pivot from her child star image from Disney Channel and revert it when she was no longer benefiting from the image. Man, what a time. but this isn't even a half of it. There is a particular superstar who has been under fire lately for mass cultural appropriation and borderline multiple identity disorder. But in all seriousness though, although Kendrick is just now bringing a bigger light to this conversation, Drake has low-key been under fire for mass cultural appropriation for a while now. If you know, you know. Which brings me to my next and final point. Why Drake has been accused of being culture's biggest vulture, and how he's become the poster boy for the topic of cultural appropriation.
The more of a constant reminder, which I love him so much for saying this to me, is, you know, he's always just like, man, please be yourself. Please don't ever try and be me or anybody else.
This video clip is an interview from Drake's early career where he shares that his mentor, Lil Wayne, told him that he should stick to being himself. Since then, he has adopted people's styles, leveraged people's flows, and stolen people's music in order to maintain his spot in the industry. Now don't get me wrong, everyone has a favorite Drake song, but walk with me y'all, there's been a disconnect somewhere down the line of his career between him and his fans, and I believe his habitual perpetration of cultural appropriation plays a huge part in that. Aubrey Graham, also known as Rapper Drake, took the industry by storm with his debut album Take Care. You can argue and say it was Thank Me Later or even before, but I believe that Take Care is really what set his place in music. The album came out in 2011, almost 15 years ago, and Drake has been on top of the music world ever since. So how did we end up with Not Like Us, a diss turned club banger and the song of the summer? Well, as someone who has seen this conversation go from room temp to boiling in real time, I would say it started with, well, never mind. We're not here to discuss Drake entirely and how he's problematic as a whole. Just a little bit of his controversy and how it relates to cultural appropriation. But trust and believe, it started way before 2024. There's a lot of things I could say about Drake and his role in pop culture, but I'm gonna keep it sweet and simple today and discuss his relation to the topic at hand. If you guys want a deep dive about Drake and how he's become problematic, not only in the entertainment industry, but to his audience as well, let me know. I got y'all. Ask and you shall receive. I am by no means a Drake hater. I'm just a realist. If you're here as a Drake fan, welcome, but understand that these are all things that your fave did. I'm just commenting on them like everyone else. Let's start with this. Drake is a Canadian man who was raised by a white woman. Let's start there. I think people's issue with Drake isn't because he's successful or because of jealousy or envy. I think it more so has to do with how he has leveraged this position and how he goes about staying afloat and obtaining it. I say this because my brother and I had a heated debate about this matter. Personally, I believe that he was looking at this matter from the lenses of someone who listens to Drake and has been a consumer of his music for pretty much the whole time since he hit the scene. But I remember being in elementary school and he had the Take Care physical copy. Anyways, let me know what y'all think. One day we were in the car listening to the radio and Not Like Us comes on. So he asked me how I felt about the whole situation, and I gotta tell him that in my opinion, Drake was rightfully dragged for everything that Kendrick said. People have been saying this about Mr. Ambiguous, but somehow from the hood way before Kendrick. He just brought a brighter light to the conversation. So my brother says that it's not fair to quote unquote do that to Drake because he's been a helping hand within the industry, and he's helped a lot of these Black American artists in a sense. I guess he was saying that he helped put them on and elevate their career after collabing with them. Kendrick himself with Poetic Justice, Lil Baby with Yes Indeed, YG with Who Do You Love, 2 Chainz with No Lie, so on and so forth. Personally, I feel that he has a point. He might have helped others get more recognition within their careers, but like, two things can be true at once. He did this in hopes of solidifying his spot in Black entertainment specifically. He is simply not from the background of any of these artists, nor does he live that lifestyle now. Everyone who collabed with Drake knew that it would help their career, and Drake felt that leveraging off of talented Black artists, that he would be solidified in the culture. It is not problematic for Drake to collaborate with artists in attempts to stay relevant and afloat. The industry is constantly changing and there is a new trend every other week. It is hard for someone in this state of the industry to really stick for 5 or more years. So I'll give Tenz where they are due. He was able to stay afloat from the start of his career when people were still buying physical album copies through the beginning of the streaming age and when TikTok music is on the rise. But at what cost though? At what cost? It can rub people the wrong way when you use a black baby as a prop in a music video in the middle of the hood while rapping about being a menace to society, especially as someone who cannot relate to the lyrics or persona that you are trying to depict. When you jack the style of less known artists and don't really acknowledge them or give them their flowers. Demons just got out of camp. I gave my bro an advance. Love is just not in my plan. You put a gun on my mask. I put a hole in your parents, ayy. I just got lean on my subies, ayy. I got a Uzi, no Uzi. Follow me, look at me, ayy. It can certainly rub people the wrong way when you have a background of blackface for whatever reason. Incorporate slavery, whips, and chains into your music in a completely tone-deaf manner, especially as someone who is not of American nationality and has not had to reap the consequences of slavery in America. This is just to name a few examples. Drake has been getting away with a lot since the start of his career. As society progresses and becomes more aware, we are starting to put up with less and less. It's like when comedians are like, we can't joke about anything anymore. People are so sensitive nowadays. But in reality, they're just not funny without being racist, bigoted, homophobic, xenophobic, etc. It's like, no, we're not just being sensitive. We're just more aware of harmful rhetoric and how it can affect the people watching. What makes Drake an offender of cultural appropriation? Honestly, when you look at Drake's upcoming as Aubrey Graham, and you see who he associates himself with and raps about now, people can see straight through a facade, and oftentimes it doesn't rub people the right way. It's one thing to be a helping hand and use your position to give opportunities to up-and-coming people within your industry. It's another thing to constantly pull from other cultures without acknowledging where and who you got your feng shui from. Cultural appropriation. Do y'all get it now? Thank you so much for watching. Let me know down below what you think. Do you agree or disagree with the Drake analogy? Let me know in the comments, and don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and share this video with your friends. Thank you.